Blog Talk Radio.
Not answering these questions that these guys kept tired to,
The child pornography was ridiculous, but they would not allow the context. And once she got to explain the context within which they were trying to pin her down and this other idiotic stuff, you see that. But, you know, that's the issue. I want to bring the fellas, because I know they're chopping, you know, want to get in there. Let me bring Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, and give him a little something to say about this before all three get down. What's up, Wayne? What's your...
Hey, greetings. Greetings, everyone. And thank you, Eric. I don't know where to begin. I didn't get a chance to watch as much of it today as I did yesterday and last night. But, you know, there are times, and I'm trying to be as thoughtful in my response and reaction to what's going on, but it's just incredulous the level of racism that goes on to this day in this country. And I don't mean to sound like as if I've been in a vacuum. You know, I follow the news like everyone else. But, you know, when you get to the point where you're before Congress and the Senate committee is evaluating whether, you know, and we're talking about a historical moment and the freaking degradation that they put our people through, it just disappoints me. And I'm trying to be as objective about, I don't know if it's the Southern drawl when I hear some of these, you know, crackers come up and speak, and I have no problems calling Lindsey Graham one, and his comrade Kennedy in, I forgot what state he's in, Mississippi or what have you, somewhere in the deep south, and all the others that just parrot the same line over and over again. And I realize that a lot of this is just political theater because, as many of our listeners know, that they're trying to see if they can win back the House and the Senate in the midterm elections. But it's despicable. And when I juxtapose that problem, and again, I don't mean to be going around Robinson's barn, but the way black folks are treated in Europe, even Africa, Caribbean, South America, you know, I just say, why is it that we have to pay a tax to, you know, what is it that, you know, is color that, I mean, is it that important that, you know, that we're being beaten up regardless of where we may be, you know? And that's the kind of bitter taste that I got out of what I've been hearing and witnessing, and I have to give Judge Jackson a lot of credit. You know, I don't want to sound like as if I'm repeating what all the talking heads have said, at least those who agree with her poise and her ability to respond to some of the idiotic questions that are being thrown at her. But, you know, I can't think of, you know, one moment when the other party that's trying to blow up democracy here will have an opportunity to question, and they come up with ridiculous things. Ted Cruz with that illustration about the critical race theory yesterday. Freaking Lindsey Graham and criticizing Professor Leonard Jeffries, which had no reference, nothing to do with, you know, it's like they're pulling out straws just to show that this person is not worthy.
Right.
And some of them had voted for her before. And, you know, it just pisses me off. That's all.
So they voted to confirm her the first two times. I'm going to bring Byer in quick, but remind me, I didn't get it how they brought it, how they referred to Dr. Jeffries. But let's bring Byer, the legendary historian, Byer Saunders. What's up? What say you, brother, about the festival?
Well,
today?
It's good to be back up on the boards with both of you. I'm back here in D.C. again. So, you know, the riveting moments are always here at Ground Zero.
A lot of, for one second, is that got a lot of static? And I'm just trying to see if that's... Is that Wayne? Could it possibly
be
the
I
static
hope not. I mean, I could call back if that's a problem.
Yeah,
well,
I
just,
can call.
All right,
just
okay. Let me try it on the cell.
Hold
line.
On, to just stop now. I don't hear it now. Do you hear it, Byron?
I hear it from your end. But if I'm clear, then that's what's important. So, you know, here we are. As I was saying, relative to the what we're hearing at the confirmation hearings is unfortunately the saddest part is that here we are 2022 and we're still listening to post Civil War post pre Reconstruction dialogue that's basically 19th century into the 20th century into the 21st century, and we still have this white male superiority complex rearing its ugliest head in the halls where the Injustice for All is supposed to be resonating from sea to shining sea. And we are being bombarded with critical race theory as some kind of red flag when you're seeing the worst of it, because there is no critical race truth. We have ignoramuses parading to be politicians and leaders. They don't deserve to be in the place that they call and consider to be the halls of political democracy. It is a sham. It is embarrassing both to the nation itself, to the cause of its democracy all around the world, and then you bring it back home and you're still running a plantation here in Washington, D.C. We've had it. We've seen it. We've been there, done that, and it still is a stain. It's a real ugly stain because you're caring more about this country, about the rights and democracy of Ukrainian people, but look what you're doing to the people here who are helping to make it a better way, a better place to stay. This woman has done nothing to Lindsey Graham, nothing to Hawley, nothing to the bigots and the racists who continue to try and paint this picture of this country as some kind of civil rights or civil war memorial to hatred and to racism. We don't stand for this. We don't have to negotiate with you. You're a terrorist. Your party is a terrorist organization, Republicans, and we need to confirm it because every single day the insult and the domestic terrorism you display today in our most sacred halls of justice and politics of this country was a disgust. I'm ashamed to think that this country is engaging in that, but yes, it is. Because this is the critical race truth, America. This is who we really are. Face it. Time to deal with it, straight up. And thank you, Sister Ketanji Brown Jackson, because you're a superhero, super shero. You wear the cape of justice better than any cape crusader I've ever seen. Thank you, Cory Booker, bringing it home and respecting the sister. We stand for our sisters. Real black men stand to protect. That's what we're supposed to be doing, folks. All that other stuff we are engaged in is just political chicken games. Stop playing the games and get real.
Yeah, you know, she's an outstanding individual. Not only that, but the story, her story is so remarkable and so overqualified for the position. I mean, for me, noticing some things, I was in another room when I heard her speak, and she has rather a young sounding voice. I also heard an optimistic voice, you know, a positive voice, and the way she's taking time to answer her questions. That was the initial thing that struck me about her, you know, about the sister's pictures, you know, and hearing and just here learning about her story as it evolves, you know, as it's revealed to us. It really is a remarkable story, a remarkable American story, truly.
Yeah.
One of the great classic American stories when you think about it. And, you know, we are, you know, the hopes of a lot of black people, or really the pride of a lot of black people, certainly black women who've been denied the recognition that we deserve, that they deserve. But, you know, like you're saying, the treatment of her by these guys, that's why I question, you know, when America likes to exalt itself, the greatest country on the face of the planet, the experiment of democracy. Okay, we kind of, you know, I understand where you're trying to come from, but when we look at the true history of the country and how, you know, in spite of itself, it has progressed in a somewhat positive direction, if not like the bumps along the way. But when you look at really how they set up the government and use the instruments of it to keep people down, and to really when people were starting to realize those rights were people that that weren't the initial attendees to receive those rights, you know, you see all the conniptions that they go through. And this is just an extension of that, and how they use all the tools and tricks of the trade, you know, i.e. government and little kind of procedures, things that they do, to achieve their end, you know, in light of just straight out terrorism, violence, and iron and rule of law, which is what, you know, was the order of the day for the first 365 years, you know. But now they try to do it politically. And that's why, you know, I've talked about, and I mentioned here on the show before, they're trying to put the necessary pieces in place for a minority rule, the majority government, you know, the whole restricting of voting rights, this southern town that was the town government was what, went over by the state, that they had an influx of money. I don't know if you guys heard about that. I forget where this is. I saw it about a brief on the internet, and it's some town that has been, you know, the city management has been taken over by the state, and it was due, I think, to get some infrastructure money or some money, and I think the issue is the state didn't really want to allow them to be in charge of distributing the funds, I would suppose. Maybe that static gives me a little bit. I don't know. It's just what I'm talking about. I don't know what that is. But so the whole kind of levers of government and the tools of government that have been used to continue oppressing us, you know, Jim Crow and then, you know, Jim Crow 2.0. And the more that we are getting these little spots here and achieve these next hurdles, the more that that stupid stuff that they saw today, that we saw today by those guys. I mean, it's the usual suspects, right? It's Ted Cruz, it's Lindsey Graham, and now they got the new guy, Josh Hawley or whatever. But even the other ones, Marsha Blackburn, she's one of the usual suspects too, you know, that are going to be the right wing and really carry on the thing. But the extent to which they're willing to go, the lengths to which they're willing to go is the surprising thing to me. You know, the whole, they talked about, people talked about before, but the whole child pornography shit, you know, and try to always connect the Democrats with the most heinous shit is unbelievable. And just really make it up. I mean, you know, that was the thing with Hillary and Pizzagate, right? That they were sacrificing children or some kind of wild stuff. And the fact that that's where they're willing to go with no real kind of hesitation is just crazy, you know? Comments?
No, I agree with you. It's disturbing, you know. This woman is one of the best examples of what can come out of our community, you know, when people constructively put their heads together, exercise a certain amount of discipline. She's a champion. She's the Wilma Rudolph of politics, the Venus and Serena Williams of politics. I mean, there's so many who can't even hold a candle to what she's done. And I'm talking about those who are already serving on the court, you know. And yet they, you know, this Republican Party, instead of staying focused on the real issues, they just want to degrade. And, again, this is part of the same smear job, and they've done this before. You know, I'm certain Byron can go back into history when, you know, the first black male was appointed to the Supreme Court, you know, Thurgood Marshall, and some of the crap that they put him through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just blows me away. It's like there's a anger within me that I can't. I guess what I'm trying to say is, when I juxtapose what we're going through in watching this, and when I juxtapose that with everything that we've been through, you know, in the last 50 years, to just right the ship, make it float, you know, that there's some direction, and yet you still have these asinine politicians that are repeating the same old nonsense. And it's one of the reasons why, I guess, autocracy is getting some showtime, because, you know, the world is looking at the great United States, you know, the symbol of democracy, and in spite of whatever ills it goes through, it manages to bounce back. But we're not as together as people think, and it's unfortunate, you know, thanks to social media and the kind of coverage that people get to see up front and personal, including the war in Ukraine, that they realize that, you know, we have a lot of problems here, and it's okay, you know. It's all right for a Vladimir Putin to look at a black athlete and say, oh, you know, what value does she serve? Let's lock her ass up, you know. It's okay for even, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just, tonight is not a great night because of all that I've seen, and it just seems to dig in my craw whenever. I hate to talk about freaking racial politics each week. There's so much stuff going on, but when you start stirring the pot and you put everything together, it just seems to bother me that we are no different, no matter how much time we may spend in the classroom. There's always this tax that we have to pay, because there's this superiority concept that white men are above and they're not equal. You know, there's no way that we're equal, regardless of what goes on, no matter how talented we become, no matter how much money and what trinkets we were able to acquire during the course of our lives. You know, you're still just another, and you know, sometimes you just don't want to have to wake up and deal with it. But I tell you, you know, I've been doing this for some time, and I'm not about to give up the fight. You know, I don't know how much more time I have left here, but, you know, this has been like a reawakening. And the deal is, it's just that I think it's so important that we reach back and get hold of our current young people, get them to understand. A lot of them, you know, get it, and yet there's some that are somewhat distracted because
right.
of a lot of different things. But it is
right.
so important that we you know, try to do something to show these people that we're better than this, and that we should
what?
Not have to go through the crap that they've put this woman through, a scholar, you know, a champion, and still we have to go through this nonsense. And there are questions as to whether or not she would still be accepted, you know.
Yeah, I think that, well, I think she is going to pretty much get through. I don't think they're going to hold it up, especially since the way they came across. I think I'm excited. To me, it's leaving me more positive that, you know, that it's messed up that she had to go through that with these people. But, I mean, it's over. That's the worst part of it. And it appears that she's going to be confirmed. I believe she will be confirmed, in fact. And I'm just excited about a lot of the and this is what I see, that those are holding on to the last bastions of white supremacy in terms of, you know, part of white supremacy, people thinking that, you know, like you have to, there's some sort of organized scheme, and then in certain instances there were, but there's also instances, and I guess I'm saying this for any white people that might be listening that might have questions about the, or issues with also the constant reference to white supremacy. I think also that is that when you take part in it by merely enjoying the advantages of being first-class citizenship, right? If you feed into that, if you kind of, you know, take advantage of what people are calling white privilege, then that kind of puts you, makes you a part of white supremacy, right? So, like the chick who calls the cops on the brother in the park, that makes you part of white supremacy. So a real quick refresher for those who might disagree, like, you know, like a, whenever we refer to white supremacy, like it's a big, you know, conspiratorial thing. No, it wasn't a conspiratorial, because that was just the rule of law in the United States. They'd have to conspire. That was the way of life. So, so you know, that whole image and system of old America is slowly coming to pass, right? With this being more of a minority country, more diverse country, more images that you're seeing in the media and the like are images that are more diverse. We got more black TV shows, more culture, more things to expose everybody to everybody else, or at least have the information out there and accessible if you seek it out and not just listen to your own personal sound, reflecting sound base, or, you know, your own news stories or whatever news channels that you might frequent. So I think that those that have interest, that have had interest in America as a white supremacist country, that are trying to hold on to that, are really, that's why they're tripping out and fighting as hard as they could. They're looking around on TV and seeing more black TV shows, seeing the Super Bowl, the halftime show where it's just like a hip-hop show, you know. And they're looking up and they're seeing, you know, oh, there's this black woman that's getting ready to be Supreme Court justice after black vice president, after a black president. So there are those that, like Trump and other individuals, who are feeding into that whole vibe that, you know, the base has, and they feed into the ignorance and lack of information that the base has access to, real objective, real information, not just what they tell them. So they try to, they're trying to keep, you know, that whole, that old system, that old American white supremacy, you know, black people get back, white people get in front system. And the country is evolving to be something else. That's why I point out, you know, I wonder how they going to, if you look at their moves down the road, you're trying to game plan or game out what's going to be their next move. That's why I brought up the concept of, you know, yeah, it looks like the move, some of the moves they're making, they're trying to make it like a, you know, a minority rule. And really restrict the vote. I mean, obviously, that's, they already stated that that's their game plan. So I guess I'm not being that clairvoyant and that deep with my prognostication. But, you know, I think we would do well. What I don't see, and I always say, is that the Democrats are not preparing for that, not preparing their game plan to respond to how clearly the Republicans are talking about and signaling how they're going to be rolling for at least the next 4 to 8 years, I believe. You know, it's not the old George Bush and Cheney's and the Bushes, at least, Republican Party, where they were at least trying to reach out to some minorities, particularly Hispanics, because Jeb's wife is Mexican. So obviously they're open to a certain degree of, you know, remember back in the day when they were courting the Hispanic community with George Bush, he was able to get a large portion of that vote. But it seems, you know, with the advent or the rise of Donald Trump in their party and the way he talked about illegal immigrants and everybody else that basically didn't look like him or wanted to do what he wanted them to do, I think they even lost out on being diverse, as diverse, and the only diversity they get is from the really people, I guess, who could be considered sellouts in their particular ethnic group, I would suppose.
Well, I don't want to think, you know, I'd like to feel that that party will go through whatever they need to do to bring themselves back to being something. I guess we just cannot have this discord, you know. At some point, you know, they'll try to clean up their act, maybe, and be appealing, because you know, we have to have a certain modicum amount of acceptance. I think black folks dictate American culture. You know, you look at what we do in music, you know, all forms of the arts, education, and we're symbols, you know. And the thing is that, you know, the fact that there's this element out there, and again, I hate to go here because this is my personal bigotry, but when I see a Hawley and a Kennedy and a Graham, you know, act and say things in their colloquial style, you know, I just come up with this image of the caricature of the typical white guy who just doesn't, who's not woke, if you will. And I hate to throw that out there. But, you know, it's just one of those things. And I have white folks that I know, Byron, I know you know, and you know, Eric, that understand, you know, that they see what it is that, you know, we've been through, and they would like to see the playing field level, you know? But that is that minority element that still is creating a stir that gets the attention of certain individuals. And, you know, I guess if I had it, you know, in my hip pocket that I could just pass because I am who I am and I don't have to go through all sorts of scrutiny, I would hate to lose that position. But, you know, it's about integrity. I mean, it's about self-respect, man. You know, and that's the way I see it. And I just don't know what it's going to take. I'd like to think, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Michael Steele with respect to him leading the RNC years ago. But when I see the Michael Steele I've gotten to know, thanks to MSNBC and some of the interviews that I've seen him conduct, I'm just saying, well, he's not too far off the beaten path with respect to what we have gone through. And our community is not a monolith. You know, we have also, I think there are more conservative blacks in this country than there are white. Hard to believe. You know,
there is a conservative element of African Americans, but I think less from a social perspective, certain areas like religion and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think black people probably, like maybe other communities, I don't know, the world a little bit more liberal, right? And I think that we're conservative when it comes to our finances, of course. Like everybody else, because obviously the majority of people are not well off. So, you know, I think that being involved is really, I'm kind of getting off in here because kind of the point you were making, trying to tail off what you were saying, opening far and have to go through the mess that we have to go through is still an indication that there's a lot. That those old obstacles and stuff is going to go down, kicking and screaming, it ain't going to go down. And especially when individuals were just thinking passions of people for their own power, really. I mean, some of the guys might not even believe half the stuff they're peddling. Of course they can't believe it. It's not true. But if that gets them more votes or gets them, you know, mentions or likes or tweets or whatever, retweets, you know, and they're playing to their base to try to get reelected, man. That's, I mean, what's inherent in the whole public service government thing is human nature, right? To have power, to be respected, to be loved, to have people, you know, and so the element of human nature that can get caught up in the more surface aspects of those things that come along with having a little bit of power and serving it in a public capacity, got to be all humble. But once you get in there, you got all this power, right? And then when it's time for reelection, you know, people got to act like, I'm not saying that everybody does that. I'm just saying that's how some, I see some of these individuals acting, you know, that get in office, particularly from the Senate standpoint, right? Individual like Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz, we've already seen that they're willing to do whatever it takes to get reelected and say whatever. And Lindsey Graham is a perfect example of just looking at his testimony or his statements today, because I caught most of the hearing today, and to see the faces that he likes to make when he's trying and he's getting so offended and you know, passionate about these fabricated issues that he tries to come up with. It's really a big kind of show. You know, we also know he's part of the old South too, that old regime, white supremacy regime. But it's just really a way that they pimp that. Wayne, I'm going to try to silence your mic a little bit here because you're doing a lot of static. The way that they try to kind of pimp that, right, is that they play upon people's fears, and they don't really, you know, they're pimping those hot-button issues. No, it wasn't you, somebody else. They're pimping those hot-button issues so people can get reelected, right? To me, as someone who's seeing people who are supposed to do public service and really serve the public, whatever you do, you know, have the integrity or the honor to serve your side. I mean, I don't even think that the rank and file base of the Republican Party is getting serviced. Most of their benefits and the things that that a party is doing to address their issue and their stance in life is coming from the Democratic Party. If people are at a certain social economic, you know, if you're not making more than $50,000 a year, then the Democratic platform and approach to our social situation, our economic situation in the country, is probably going to be more appealing to you than the Republican approach, right? Republican approach is going to be top heavy. They're going to favor the rich Democrats. You know, we're favor more of the working people. So that right there in a nutshell tells you that these people that are at the base that happen to be part of the Republican Party should really be voting with Democrats most of the time. But then when, like I was saying, you have the human issue, the human element, racism, hate, love, all that stuff, and these cats are feeding into that as opposed to really serving them, you know, and kind of saying, you know, really this is the best plan for everybody. You know, they're just pimping that to continue to be reelected. So they perpetuate the negative feelings, a lot of these elected officials, they perpetuate, you know, the division and the us against them mentality. You know, I mean, it's been talked about by everybody pretty much, all pundits and people alike and observers alike, that they sell fear. You know, that sells a lot better and motivates people to act a lot more when they pitch it like this group is going to be taken away from you. You're gonna lose out to these people, and so they pit people against each other, and it really is a disservice to their base, because the things that they're voting for doesn't help their base, and they're just pimping their base, and telling their base it's the other guys that are doing it to you. So,
well,
all the more reason
why we have to stay on top of our game. All the more reason why we should have a free press, and that we have different venues in which to promote, you know, certain agendas, and try to be as honest and upfront about it, forthright about it. You know, it's the misinformation that a lot of these people who don't know any better, they just swallow because some friend of theirs heard it on such and such station, and because it was there, that must make it gospel. And, it's bothersome, but it also shows how much more work we have to do.
Yeah. I mean, for me, just from a common human decency standpoint, and maybe because I've grown up so close or I have family members in politics, is that when you tell people you're going to go represent them and represent their best interests, and, you know, it's a big thing for people to get elected to office and can convince people and people to believe in you, you know, and people to actually get active and to come out and vote for somebody. Somebody, you know, they've put some thought into shit. You know, they're active in the community. Mm-hmm. So when people come and cast a vote for you and do that, you should really honor that. You know, at least that's what I've been brought up to believe in. And even though those guys are on the other side, I just really think it's like they're really doing a despicable thing to the people who come out and vote for them. You know, a lot of times when they're not really looking out for their best interests. You know, and I'm on the other side. And I'm just trying to give them some game. You know, it's like, damn, man, those guys really ain't for you. You know, the people you keep voting for, they're not really on your side. But okay, you know, I mean, it's worked
and
out.
Therein lies the problem, because they don't realize it. You know,
right? Or they
don't
care.
See that in their own community.
Well, yeah, or they don't care, or they're not willing to trust us enough to at least be objective about the stuff. You know.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean. And speaking from that aspect, that what the Republicans are willing to do is a disservice to not only to, you know, the country as a whole, but the individuals that they call their base, from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, look at him. I mean, he's going out, you know, was going to rallies when he had COVID. You can't really be concerned about the people supporting you if you're trying to expose them to a virus that's putting people in the hospital. And you're supposed to be the man that sets the example for the entire nation. You can't. It's like, no, that type of behavior doesn't match with the office you're supposed to hold.
Well, he's sick. You know, I just hope that at some point whatever he's doing fades away, because I think a lot of the Republicans who are still in the middle are not looking to forward or push his agenda any more than they have to. You know, they know he's there, and there's a certain element that will continue to support him. And until that element is awakened, or, you know, at least in some way come forward and realize, well, this guy's not doing us, you know, any justice at all. I mean, especially if you connect the dots of what happened between 2016 and what's going on today with respect that we're on the precipice of World War III, you know, he plays a role in that agenda, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's unfortunate.
I think a more calm perspective people are looking for now. I think that, getting back to the hearing for Judge Brown Jackson, I think that a lot of people, after witnessing the way that some of those guys on the Republican side acted and responded and treated her, I think that that style of politics on their side, that Trumpian type of nastiness that those guys tried to exhibit, is going to be even further damaged for their party. You know, I think it damages them even more because of who she was and the way she responded to their questions and just the crazy accusations about her and the temperament that she had, you know, which is, even as they were all saying, you know, you have a good family and you, congratulations for the cop, you know, that you made it this far and thanks for sitting here. Yeah. As they're trying to grill her and eviscerate her, you know, but I think her temperament really not only is going to end up being beneficial for her and her public image, but it's also revealing them that, you know, to a lot of people in her party, it's like, yeah, we're kind of tired of going the Trumpian kind of style of politics and stuff like that. You know?
I hope so. I mean, I tell you, I give her a lot of credit. You know, I mean, the stamina and the And you know, there were no strange gesticulations, despite what stupidity that was thrown at her by people like Graham and Cruz. And, you know, I just stood there, and again, when you compare what we're going through now with her and what happened with Kavanaugh and Coney and all the others that were able to, you know, have the country in turmoil. You know, I'll never forget what we went through just getting Kavanaugh. I mean, if he was allowed to sit and everybody took a blind eye to his crap, you know, she looks like a saint. She's a Mother Teresa. You know?
Right.
So I don't get it. I mean, I'm hoping from your lips to God's ears that she gets in, you know, but, you know, I just... The theater is unnecessary.
I think, I don't know if Byron, he's still around, Byron, but I think a lot of
I'm here.
I think it's also just really quick. I think for women, it's going to be damaging the way they can't cut their arm. A lot of women don't like that. They picked up on that.
Given that our country has more women voters than men, I find that the GOP's attack on women's rights, attack on black women and women of color in particular, is also stirring it up so that I don't believe that the white men really understand and comprehend the hornet's nest that they have just stepped in. It's like the pinata was filled with too much candy. Well, there's no candy in this. There's a lot of sting coming, and it's not going to be pretty because you just, you know, it's one thing we brothers don't really particularly care about, even from our own, is when you start to play the dozen and you start to call somebody's mother out and you start to call, you call me out of my name, that's not taken too well from any level of respect. And at this point, I think what you saw from Cory Booker as a point of reference to black men, you better know what we're doing, because these mofos went way beyond the line of respect, way past the line where they needed to get back in their box. And the only way we're going to get them back in their box now is to take a 2x4 to them. We don't have to care for this crap anymore. I'm serious. It's enough is enough, way past enough. And like Fannie Lou Hamer said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And today you exposed yourself for the racist men that you are, that you don't deserve to be in leadership of anything in this country. You represent the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually how America used to do back in the day, hardcore. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, all throughout the day. But, you know, we're talking about the 60s, the 50s, the 30s. You know, that's been the history of this country. You know, the all of the shine, all of the ain't it great and we're grand, you know, great country voting and people working, man, blah, blah, blah. That's all part of the publicity statement, you know. When you get down to the nitty-gritty, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked on, and there's a lot of ugly parts of the country, obviously, that we found out. Even history that we learn every day and continue to learn, the brutality that our people and the history that's been kept from us or buried from us. I learned some new stuff all the time, new historical parts. Like this brother who was really the first black man to run for president. What was his name, Byron? Charles, I just saw. Charles Edwin something.
I can't think of his name right now. But, yes, he was the way before, he was before George Washington became president. Yes, and they voted for him. The Continental Congress actually voted for him.
right. And I never knew that ran against was going to run against Teddy Roosevelt. And I just saw the video of a clip of it, you know, one of them little historical videos on YouTube by a particular media outfit. And it was a white dude that was the narrator in the video. And it was a nice little 10-minute clip about this particular guy, Black History. So that's what I'm talking about in all aspects. You know, other Americans who don't happen to be black are recognizing the contributions of African Americans in history. Yeah.
One of the things that we have to really remember now, what we just witnessed as real time, was that constant attack on us as a people. You see, everybody once in a while, it seems like it's just out of nowhere, it just happens to be, well, this is just happening. No, this is 24/7, 365, and 366 on the leap year time. And this is going on day in and day out. And the optics of it is, it's probably for the better because it's in the light right now. We can no longer keep denying it and it's in its darkness. No, it's in the light. And the light is liberating it to the point where it's like we're not going to go back to that. And if you miss the message, come closer because I'm about to knock you out, okay? You stepped on my side of the line here, people. You don't do this to us. You really have. And then when you see it your response to your own people in the Ukraine, then it tells us about the vileness of your hatred in your heart, because you're letting it be done to your own kind.
Mm-hmm. I am.
See, that's the other part of this, which we have to really pay close attention to, because this is an evil construct, not just somebody who's, you know, espousing a supremacy. But beyond the supremacy, there's a deeper evil here, because you don't even like the, you don't even protect your own kind. This goes way beyond just color, but color exacerbates it, because now we've been showing it and proving it to you for quite some time, and you're just now catching up. America, this has been going on for how many years, gentlemen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I think part of the thing is the acknowledgement of other of like I said, non-black people, but a lot of white people that acknowledge and accept black history as a part of American history, and are like, how many white people also rejoiced in the fact that we had the first black president? How many white people voted for the first black president and wanted to be able to, and also rejoiced in that milestone that the country achieved at that time, you know? And I think that's probably one of the more scary elements of the evolution of the country, is as you have more non-black people, more white people accepting the history and wanting that history to be revealed, you know? The fact that Bass Reeves is a white dude that told me that about Bass Reeves, and that being him being
the Lone Ranger
character. So the more, I think that the more that you have white Americans who are also aware of that history, I think some might be aware and they try to hide it from us certainly and everybody else, but I think there are others just as like us that want to celebrate that are willing to celebrate that history, particularly those that are into the culture and art that has been created by black people, you know, or just as a part of American culture and art.
Excuse me, Eric and Byron. You just mentioned Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger, and I, some years ago, had an experience of meeting him, and I didn't understand quite what your reference was then, because this man really took himself seriously, you know. I just a funny story going back in the time, and I sat there as a kid and used to watch him, you know, like all of us of a certain generation. But when you mentioned his name, it just I'd forgotten about that, and an incident that happened some years ago where he really, was the symbol of law enforcement.
Oh,
at
really?
Least he thought he was somewhere down south. Yeah.
So, what are you want to tell us about it? I mean, you're kind of referencing the story.
The thing is that I'm trying to remember.
He probably
exactly.
Didn't even know he was based on a black guy.
Come again?
He probably didn't know that he was based on a black guy.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that, I didn't know that either. You know, I mean, that's what I wanted to, because it's amazing how many different things that have come out. Again, I go back to this point that black folks really dictate American culture, you know, no matter where we're from, no matter what port of call, you know, when we get here, we add something, and then next thing you know, the supremacists own it like as if it's something that they developed, and that's it. But I was at an event. It was a BLS event, and I was seeing somebody who worked for the competition at the time, and somewhere in South Jersey, I forgot where, it was within the reach of the station signals, and he was an invited guest, someone that I did not expect to see, and he was a friend of a friend, and he showed up, but he showed up in his uniform, I guess basically to attract the attention of the young people who were there at this, I don't even want to call it like, it wasn't even like a disc, it was at an amusement park.
Whoa, what are you saying, the Lone Ranger came, the guy came dressed like the Lone Ranger?
He came dressed like the Lone Ranger, and there was another actor, and I can't think of his name, they're probably both gone now, because I'm talking about the late 70s, early 80s, and, you know, he was going through this, you know, spiel with Tonto this and, you know, and don't worry, I'm the Lone Ranger, telling these kids that, you know, I will, you know, do whatever it is that I have to do just to make sure that, that people are, you know, doing things the right way. And it just, I don't know, it struck me.
Wasn't he like
80-something? Come again?
You said it was in the 70s, and you went through BLM?
Yeah, I want to say 79, 80.
Wasn't
he
like
80-something? I want to say it was Great Adventure, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but
I'm
wasn't
not sure if it
Ranger,
was that. Cause,
wasn't the dude like 80 years old or something?
Yeah, he was pretty, you know, he was, I'm 70. And at the height of his career, must have been in the late 50s, early 60s. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The people
so probably,
that based, basically who remembered him were young adults, you know, people, and I'm going back now 30, 40 years, and I don't know how long Great Adventure has been open, but I know it was in Jersey, and I was with the late, great Mary Thomas, who used to be a DJ at KISS, and it was one of her friends that that was an actor who appeared in the series that knew this guy was available to come to this park. And I just...
Appeared in the Lone Ranger?
I don't know, just took me back. And now that you're saying that he was... His
appeared
character
in the Lone
was
Ranger.
Based on, huh?
Appeared in the Lone Ranger, the old black and white shit?
Yeah.
And
with
you're
the
saying
hat,
they were at the, they were
and,
at the
and
thing.
The, and the,
and you're
and
saying
the mask
just,
over his
eyes. I know what you're talking about, but I'm just trying to clarify. You're saying they were at the thing in the 70s. Hanging out.
Well, he came for this appearance, you know, at this amusement park, and it was you know, as I think back now, it wasn't even a BLS. It must have been a KISS FM event that, you know, they had to go, and I, you know, I was hanging out with them, and I just happened to say, oh my God, the Lone Rangers, like meeting Mister Rogers or Captain Kangaroo, you know.
Yeah.
I think we got to go, Wayne.
But before we go, I think they used to go, roll around like that back in the day when they would make appearances. I know the Batman guys used to do that. But we got a minute left, gentlemen. So why don't you give the people your sign off? We got a little sidetrack with the Lone Ranger. But go ahead, Wayne. Give your sign off real quick.
Peace and love, Kemosabe.
Yeah, there
I hate
you go.
To even go there.
Close enough.
Oh, that's okay,
my brother. Go ahead, Byron. Give the people your sign off, my brother.
All right, yes, indeed. Remember, we got the power. Fight the power, people. It's in the vote, and there are more of us than there are of them. Now let's show it. Show it.
You
thank
that,
you.
My brother. No. Talk. See you on the other side. Brother Byron Stone is a legendary historian.
Yes,
Brother Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Kay's son. It's Kay's son, friends. We had to talk about Judge Ketanji Brown. My mom would have been, like I said, cheering her on, telling her to fight the power. I know she would have sit in front of the people for the past few days, yelling at Ted Cruz and Lynn Graham and clapping to Claude and Cory Booker, the junior center from my state. He did a thing today. Could have seen Eric and Sam K's son. Talk to you again.